Ready? Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler. F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is blitzed, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show. You know the number for that. And if you want to watch us on Twitch, put your comments in the chat function. You are welcome to do that as well. You missed the first hour. Very sportsy, as you might expect. The lack of action.
It's a sports kind of day.
It is a sports day, even though it's a Tuesday. And, yeah, so if you want to get in, you're welcome to.
Well, I'm going to get in.
Are you?
Yeah, I feel obligated. Somebody tweeted at me during the break. It was the Houston media critic tweeted that Mattress Mac's number changed on that Scherzer scratch.
Yeah, because that's okay. So it's not another 300K. That was from that game. Let me clarify.
Yeah,
that. Yeah. So
and he said he'd bet 300K to win 200, but it changed from 300K to it changed from three to win two to three to win 115 or something like that. I mean, he won, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah,
but
yeah, but still. You hate when that happens.
He's out there battling.
Texter asks, does winning or losing the World Series affect the Astros' chances to re-sign Cole? No.
No.
What makes up his mind, his mind's probably already made up, let's be honest.
As long as, I mean.
And somebody's going to
offer. As long as a reasonable offer comes, and I'm sure he's going to get several reasonable offers.
He's going to get 7 years, $35 million offered from the Angels. And if he doesn't take that, then he's silly. I think that's going to happen. And, you know, I just don't think anybody is going to outdo that. I mean, the Yankees could. Maybe they make it 36, but is that really worth it? I mean, if he wants to be in California, it's going to come down to what does he want? Does he want to be in California? And from all indications, I think he does.
I do, too.
And my friends out there are convinced that he's going to the Angels because they're not afraid to open up the pocketbooks. And listen, I love the guy, but I don't know if I'm giving him 7 years. Even at 29?
I would.
Yeah, but you're going to be paying him for 34, 35, 36. Not everybody keeps going at that level when they get to that age. I mean, they're not all Verlander. So, but I mean, yeah, would I do it?
Right.
But it's not my money. It's easy for me to sit here.
Yeah.
And if I'm playing franchise mode on MLB The Show, I can go ahead and spend whatever the hell I want. But that's not the case. And that's where you have to make a decision on is it worth having him over the guys that you would have to get rid of. And I think it would be, but 7 years is a long-ass time. And you're not going to get 7 years of this kind of production.
No.
You might get three or four now. Does that get you to another World Series? Maybe.
Darren Revelle, the tweet, if they win it all tonight, Mattress Mac will have 20 mil in gambling wins before taxes.
Which means after taxes, about 4 million.
He'll have $50.
Yeah. God, people, it's so funny how much we get taxed for stuff like that. It's just crazy. I've always said that's my one positive about Canada is your gambling winnings are not taxed, no matter how much it is. If you win the lottery, it's not taxed. That's what we should have in America. That's one thing that they do better than us. That's about it. I mean, the rest of the time it's cold, but that I would rather, like, because whether it's horse racing or winning a big poker tournament, I'd like to be able to keep the money that I actually won.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. All the reports, Davey Martinez, who they interviewed before the game, said Max Scherzer would start a potential Game 7. Max Scherzer finished his session and told reporters and his manager, I'm good. Nodded, said, I'm good. So he would pitch Game 7 if there is a Game 7. Suddenly, it feels like tonight is exponentially more important than it felt like it was.
Well, I mean, I always...
If you were talking about Patrick Corbin and Zach Greinke tomorrow, or Annabelle Sanchez and Zach Greinke tomorrow, I'd be saying, still feel like the Astros are in good shape no matter what happens tonight.
Yeah, but I don't know what Max Scherzer I'm going to see tomorrow. That's the thing. Yeah. And I don't know if he's going to go two-thirds of an inning and his arm's going to blow up.
Yeah.
And he's off his, and he's off his routine. Yeah, would I rather have him if I'm the National?
Would you rather have him or regular rest Patrick Corbin?
Well, yeah.
I'd rather have 80% or 70% or whatever percent Max Scherzer.
Well, because if he's only 70%, you're going to see Corbin anyway.
Probably. And Annabelle, you'll see everybody.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think you're going to have to worry about it. So,
all right.
I don't think there's...
You're confident.
I don't feel like the Astros are going to lose three straight home games. Yeah, and Altuve's splits at home versus road are incredible. I think he has a big night tonight. So, Esther says, hell yes, you pay him 7 years. Why? Because we have a dynasty in the making here that has to be worth more. Man, I got to tell you guys, and this is part of the article that's going to run after the series. None of this is guaranteed. You know, you can talk about dynasty in the making all you want, but... It's not easy to get here.
No.
I mean, they had to go five against Tampa. The Yankees had to implode for them to get by them. You were down 2-0 in this one. Just getting back to 3-2 was miraculous. I mean, you can have the best team, and it doesn't mean anything. Because you know, none of this stuff is guaranteed. And, oh, yeah, we can be there every year. Well, what if you get to next year and Justin Verlander suddenly doesn't have it anymore? Which, guess what? It'll be, what, 38?
Yeah.
That's a possibility, right? And what about Zach Greinke? He's another guy who's getting older. What if he doesn't have it anymore? And suddenly, who's your best pitcher when Cole's gone? Yeah, and yeah, Urquidy looks pretty good. Like, he might be something for you. You have McCullers back, but you don't know what he's going to be. And, you know, you've also had some injuries this year. What happens if Bregman's out for a long time? What happens if any of these guys get hurt? None of this stuff is guaranteed. So, you know, to just say, well, I'm going to pay him 7 years because we're going to be a contender every single year, I guarantee you if they sign him for 7 years, they're not making the playoffs a couple of those years. At some point, one of these other teams is going to that's all it takes is a really bad – one bad – look at the Red Sox this year.
Yeah.
I bet you thought the Red Sox are going to be a dynasty after they won 108 games.
And the Cubs.
Yeah. Remember the Cubs were going to – oh, they're going to be good for a long time.
Because they were young. I mean, their core was just so great.
Now, you know, Bryant's pissed off at them and – you know, because of the way he handled his contract, they got all kinds of problems going on there. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you look at those two teams, I think they're the perfect example. And, you know, the Yankees with all the young guys they have now, there's no guarantees there either. So, to me, a seven-year deal, if they do it, great. I'm not going to bitch at them for spending money because, like I said, I would do it. But if I – and one thing I, you know – just I'd be real concerned about giving a 7-year deal to a pitcher because those rarely work. And once he gets paid, who knows how he's going to be. I mean, he kind of looks pretty laid back to me.
Yeah.
And no matter what, you're going to have the same lineup next year, right? Because you do have Springer and Correa for one more year. You get Brantley for one more year. Altuve's locked up. Bregman's locked up. Alvarez is locked up. You know, catcher, I guess. But... you're going to be in pretty good shape with your lineup. It's just going to be fixing the pitching.
Lamont says, who's better in their mid-30s, Verlander or Nolan Ryan, more dominant?
Well.
So you got to think mid-30s is a loose term, but if you say the years that Verlander's been here, his 34, 35, 36 years – Probably Verlander slightly. Nolan Ryan, his 34-year-old year had a 1.69 ERA. It's pretty salty. But really the best Nolan was like age 40 to 44.
Yeah.
Like his last couple years in Houston and his first few years, maybe not his best, but his best might have been when he was in California. But his best, you know, after 30 years came really after 40. He was better in his 40s than he was in his 30s. Miraculous.
That Roy train.
I guess so.
But no,
all aboard.
Yeah, hey, I'm all for it. No, but when he was here, though, and when I did that list, he spent a third of his career here, a third of a 27-year career.
Yeah.
And a lot of his prime And the guy had a 3.14 ERA for those 9 years. And yes, he didn't win as many games as he probably should have.
But that wasn't necessarily his fault.
No, wins are such a bad. I mean, the year he was 8-16, he was the best pitcher in the National League. And yeah, he had a pretty long run of dominance. And they got the playoffs for the first two times in club history. The difference is, and that was harder to get the playoffs back then because there were only two divisions. So you had to win your division. And, you know, then it was easier to get to the World Series. They just never did it. But I think you look back at his career here, and it was pretty damn impressive. And he carried that team. And the one thing I remember is he only had the one no-hitter here. I can't tell you how many times he got to the eighth inning with a no-hitter. And because
Or he finished with a one-hitter.
Yeah, and I would have to rush to the office to get ready to, you know, redo everything if it happened. And I can't tell you how many times I'd be out at a bar and, oh, Nolan Ryan's got it through eight. Okay, I got to get back to the office.
The difference is now everybody throws, not everybody, a lot of guys throw super hard. Back then, no one threw like Nolan threw.
No.
So it was catching up to a 100-mile-an-hour fastball, even if it didn't move a whole lot, wasn't as easy as it is now. Batters now can, if you throw a 100-mile-an-hour flat fastball, it'd get crushed. But Nolan was throwing 100 in a day where no one else threw 100.
And not only that, he had such a wicked curveball.
Yeah.
And when he was on his game, he was unhittable.
He threw hard and he would pitch inside and people were terrified to be in the box against him.
Yeah, because you didn't want to get hit by that thing.
Yeah.
It would hurt.
I mean, it's kind of, Randy Johnson did the same thing. He figured it out that you pitch inside on guys, they don't really want to compete against you.
No. They just want to kind of flail away and get out of there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, here's a guy who doesn't flail away. He knocks it out of the park. Lawyer Dave. What's up, Lawyer Dave?
Well, we're just hoping the Astros hit plenty out of the park tonight and win that championship for us for the second time.
Well, what if one of those home run balls hits you and you're in the stands? What should you do?
That's too darn bad. This thing on the back of your ticket says you can't sue if you get hit by a bat or a ball in a professional game setting. But
you could beat that.
If you are hit by somebody with a bat outside the ballpark, by golly, call Lawyer Dave at 713-626-8900, and I'll help you out.
Yeah, and basically, if you've had any kind of accident, and you're in Houston, you're going to have a car accident, let's face it. You're the first person they should call, right? Because you don't charge for your consultations. And even if you don't do the kind of legal stuff that they call and ask about, you can put them with somebody who can.
That's absolutely true, Fred. Oftentimes, insurance companies and car wrecks try to fool the people into giving recorded statements and leading them to say things that work against them. The first call they should make is to me, Lawyer Dave, before they talk to any insurance agent to make sure their rights are preserved. That's absolutely right.
And you don't get paid a dime unless they win, right?
That's right. We work this case together. We win together, and if in the odd circumstance where we lose together.
All right. Tell them how they can get in touch with you.
Call me at 713-626-8900 or hit me up at LawyerDave.com or LawyerDaveLaw is my Twitter handle, or hit me up through you, Fred.
Yeah, you can always just hit me up on Twitter, and I'll give you all that information if you can't remember it. But need a lawyer? What do they do?
Better dial Dave.
You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Somebody says Cole after payday equals in-game Thor. Lebowski Thor. Oh, man. Somebody asks, who do you think people are rooting for nationally? I think I hate to break it to you.
It's the Nationals.
The Astros are the villains.
Yeah.
They're the bad guys. That's what happens when you're successful. They've also had a lot of high-profile, I think, overblown stories, and including the assistant GM thing, which I think is just – it's silly how – you know, they're still demanding a pound of flesh from the Astros. Patrick Creighton had a good take on that the other day. That's on the website, by the way. And, you know, you go after a Roberto Osuna, people are not going to like you.
Yeah.
And you had Verlander not wanting to talk to the reporter and making a big issue of that. Don't think the media, you know, don't think they're going to forgive that. So whenever they get a chance to jump on you, this is a sad thing. A team from the most corrupt where the most corrupt government in the world is, everybody loves him and not the Astros. What does that tell you?
Is that good?
I don't know. But frankly,
I don't think it's good.
Frankly, I don't care what the rest of the world thinks. If they win, I'm happy. That's all I care about.
There you go.
So, 713-780-ESPN. Somebody says, can we bring up all the pitchers we're going to have for next year's roster? We're to be in pretty good shape. Well, maybe you are. You don't know.
Yeah.
Because what if, again, Verlander, you're going to have Verlander and Greinke, but those guys are going to be a year older. So there's
presumably you'll have Lance McCullers.
Presumably, and I hope so. And that would be pretty good, although I still think his best destiny may be the bullpen. I've always said that.
I do, too. He doesn't like to hear that, though.
I know he doesn't. And, okay, so your Keady would be your fourth?
And probably.
And you sign some other guy, but, all right, what if your Keady's a flash in the pan?
Well,
and there's Forrest Whitley out there.
There's Aaron Sanchez. Maybe he's got something. You know, and like you said, there's some free agents you'll be able to look at.
Yeah, and I think Sanchez, who knows? I mean, you have an option on him. But I think that's, I think all of those things are, you'll be okay.
The option on him is $5.6 million.
I'd probably take that.
I think you have to take that risk. That's not much at all. I mean, compared to what you could get out of him.
Yeah.
That seems like an easy one to me. But yeah, I think if you're hoping, well, if McCullers or Sanchez is healthy, you're solid. You're probably going to need either your Keady or Whitley to be good. And then maybe you go get a Charlie Morton,
Wade Miley
type, guy who has probably reached his potential with some other team and you can make him better.
Yeah. I mean, all that's there. 523. That was.
Oh, sorry. That one slipped.
Stop being negative Nancy's. Oh, I'm sorry that reality is negative.
Wait, who's being negative?
Nobody's being negative other than, well, I mean, I.
If you're saying the national, like the people who don't have a dog in the fight are cheering for the Nationals, that's just.
Yeah, that's a fact, bro.
Welcome to being the good team now. You're the bad guys. You're basically looked at like the Yankees. And I know it's not fun. You're used to being the cute underdog story.
That was 1 year. That was 2017. You're not that anymore.
Yep.
Embrace it. There's nothing negative about that. Although, I mean, unless he's talking about me saying that you're not guaranteed a damn thing.
Oh, you're
but
not?
But you're not. You're not. So, I also said they're going to win tonight. How is that negative?
Negative.
Embrace being the a-holes, guys. That's what you are. Says know about next year's team, bro.
You don't know anything about next year's team.
I mean, why the bleep do you idiots care about next year's team right now? Shouldn't you be caring about game six? God. Tuesday texters, man.
How mad are those Boston fans, though, that they won last year? At the time, I don't think they cared.
Yeah.
They didn't give a damn. Don't give a damn. Just
when
focus
you win,
right
it doesn't
now.
Matter.
Yeah. And yes, there's a lot of questions about the pitching. There won't be about the lineup and if you think this is negative, okay. As I said, all those guys are back next year. And you got a full season of Alvarez. So.
But I'll tell you what, I know everybody likes to talk about dynasties and stuff like that. If you get two World Series and the Astros didn't make the playoffs again for the next 5 years, I don't care. You won two World Series in 3 years. That was badass.
Yeah. Well, and frankly, getting the one that they did was badass.
Yeah.
And if they lose, I'm not saying you should be happy about it, but I also think maybe you should appreciate what you had in 2017 a little bit more because that's hard to do.
Bunch of spoiled ass Astro fans all of a sudden.
I know.
Y'all forget where this team was. This thing was molded out of poop and shined up to look like a diamond.
Lord Hoka just says, two championships in 3 years validate the tanking the Astros did.
Yes.
One championship
one
validated
does.
That.
Yes.
How many teams are there in Major League Baseball?
30.
Yeah. So theoretically, you should win a title once every how many years?
30.
It doesn't work out that way because you got some teams that spend a lot, like the Yankees win it all the time.
Well, they haven't won in, what, a decade? Come on, Fred.
Mm-hmm, well.
But think about this. Like the Nationals, the Marlins, Both times they won the World Series, they immediately sold off everything and they just started their rebuilding process again. And were the fans upset about it? Sure. But guess what? They still won a World Series. They still won two World Series. You can't, and they'll always remember those two teams. To me, you've got to cherish these moments that you do win them and not worry about, well, what if we don't get back there next year? Who cares? Who cares? If you win, you can go the next 10 years and not make the playoffs. And to me, that was still a golden age. Two out of three World Series. You're kidding me? I'll give up 10 years of being competitive to win two World Series.
People don't forget some of the Astros fans have been fans since 2017 and expect the same thing every
exactly.
year. Well, that's the problem. And that's most of you who are texting in right now.
And trust me, we're partly to blame on this too, because how much Astros were we talking back when they were garbage? We didn't want to talk about them.
No.
What was the point? I mean, it was embarrassing. So what do? We just pretend like, well, we just pretend like there's not a baseball team here. Because there really wasn't.
Now I still have the countdown to 100 losses imaging that Jong had made.
Yeah, that was basically what you were looking for every year. What date would they hit their 100 losses?
Yeah. Well, but the reality is most of the people who were making these comments weren't fans. In, I mean, they didn't follow the team. They all became fans in 2017, and that's okay. And somebody said, I'm a Met fan. You can take something I'm not going to mention for two World Series. Haven't seen one in my life. And you won them back in 86. Beat the Astros. But it wasn't in, you know, that's the thing. That's a long-ass time ago. You know who else you should talk to about this? Rockets fan. Because they won two in a row and thought, oh, man, here it is. It's easy. How many have they won since 95? How many of you were even alive in 95?
I was.
Barely.
I was 15. I was a grown man. Armpits.
Let's see what Lamont has to say.
Hello,
hey,
Lamont.
What's up, fellas?
Hey, sports, man.
Hey, man, while everybody is talking about Cole, I am more thinking about Brent Strom. Because I'm like, without him, the engine doesn't go. And I know it's no talk about him being signed by any other team. But this guy is getting all this publicity with how good he is with the pitchers and stuff. This dude is more important than Cole to me. In other words, I put it to you like this: if Brent Strom had did the same thing that assistant manager done, do you think that the Astros would have fired him? That's all I have, fellas.
Probably not. I don't know if I'll go Brent Strom as important as Gerrit Cole. But I do think Brett Strom, he's really important.
I always wonder why a great pitching coach like that, teams don't consider him for a manager.
Because you're taking away the thing he's best at.
You can't pass that on to somebody else. You can't oversee that. It can't be like a Bill O'Brien calling plays.
I don't want that. I just want him doing what he does.
Well, I know that. A wizard. But if I'm another team and I've seen what he's done here, and if he can do that for my pitching staff, why not make him a manager?
Plus, Brent Strom is like 100 years old.
He's not 100. He's 87. 88.
He's old.
There.
He's 71. Yeah. Nobody's looking for a 71-year-old manager. Nobody's looking for Sparky Anderson. But let him go out there and be the pitching coach, and it's good.
Yeah. Kerry says, do you think, looking back, the Texans could have gotten Trent Williams, Peterson, and Norman for the same load they sent to Miami? I don't know, but I wouldn't want Peterson and Norman.
Those guys aren't helping you.
No. So that's not one I would have done.
And although, who knows? Maybe, I mean, Josh Norman sucks right now, but he'd probably be an improvement on what they've got today. But you couldn't have projected that you'd be in this bad a shape.
Yeah.
I mean, you knew you were going to be bad at that position. You didn't know you'd be bad and injured at that position the way that they are.
Yeah, but I mean, I wish people would quit trying to push Adrian Peterson off on the Texans. I mean, listen, I love the guy, but he's not going to give you more than what you're getting out of the guys you have.
No.
So, Keith says, good test to see if someone is a new fan or not. Ask if they know who Scott Ellerton or Shane Reynolds are. That's two in like 4 minutes.
Sorry.
I'll go back even further. Ask them if they know who Enos Cabell was.
That's when you were a kid.
Yeah. Yeah, and we used to call him Penis Cabell because every time he'd go to the plate, he'd grab himself.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Oh, or Don Wilson. How about that one?
You guys are old. You're older than me.
But you've heard of Don Wilson.
Yeah, but like...
Probably because he killed himself. Well, unintentionally.
My prime time was Bill Doran, Glenn Davis, Jose Cruz, Larry Anderson. Come on, these are the heroes. These are the heroes of my childhood. Dave Smith, the legend, Dave Smith.
Yeah, that was, I still think that 86 team, and this will be a conversation.
Kevin Bass.
Billy Hatcher.
Billy Hatcher. Oh, man. Those were ball players, Fred. That's when men were men.
Mark Bailey.
Yeah. Yeah. Jim DeShays. I mean, come
Bob
on.
Knepper.
Bob, Charlie Kerfield. Come on.
Kerfeld,
yeah.
Brandon Backey?
No, that's...
I'll raise you a Brandon Backey.
That's new school, man. We're talking Denny Walling days.
Denny Walling platooning with...
Craig Reynolds.
No, Phil Garner.
Oh, yeah.
They platooned at third base.
That's right.
I think Craig Reynolds was the shortstop.
Craig Reynolds was the shortstop. And Dickie Thon was the short. That was shortstop platoon.
Well, Dickie Thon was the shortstop until his face exploded.
Yeah.
So
what about Terry Poole?
Canadian Terry Poole.
P-U-H-L.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were great players on that. Not really, but they were all right.
So he says the Rockets scrapped the team after the second championship. That was a bit different. No, they went out and got Charles Barkley and Scottie Pippen, and they kept trying to win.
They tried to do too much, honestly.
Yeah.
Because they probably would have been better off keeping Ori and Cassell and that young core together, and they decided to go all in and try to keep it running with some, you know, they tried to put some spinning rims on what they had going, and they took apart the transmission. It's not a good move.
Nope. But
Danny Darwin.
Oh,
that's a good one. That might be on my old 80s Astros.
That is a good one.
Oh, I forgot Alan Ashby, of course. Can't forget him.
Casey Candell.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's a good one. Remember, his mom played in the League of Their Own thing.
What about Jim Pankovitz?
Ooh.
That's right. What about the Astros? They used to give out those trading cards. Oh, those were God, those days were great.
As I moved here in 97 from Louisiana, started watching the Astros with Granato on postgame.
Oh, boy.
Man. So. All right. Well.
Now he does postgame for like the Houston Roughnecks.
what's wrong with that?
Nothing. Right. You're doing play-by-play.
That's news to me.
Yeah, congratulations. All right, I got to tell you about CBDMD.com. And I am a longtime advocate of CBD. I think the stuff is basically a miracle drug. And it has helped me in many ways, helped my wife in a lot of ways, helped my dad tremendously. And guys, CBDMD is bringing you a tested, clean, safe product. And they're doing it at a great price. In fact, they price compare their stuff to the other guy's stuff on their website, and you'll see how much money you can save. And a lot of these pro athletes are using it, world-class athletes. Daniel Cormier, Bubba Watson, Tyron Woodley, top-level guys using this stuff for recovery after workouts. I use it after I work out. I use the CBD Freeze anytime I've got aches. It's like a roll-on menthol blend. And, man, it just makes me feel amazing. And right now, you want to try out CBD? They're making it easy for you. 20% off your order at CBDMD.com when you use the promo code ESPN975 at checkout. That's CBDMD.com, promo code ESPN975 to save 20%.
On your knees, dog.
This is The Blitz on ESPN97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. And when I first started really paying attention, it was like Joaquin Andujar and Ken Forsch and guys like that.
Yeah, that's before I was.
I know, that was before. This is how old I am. I actually, as a kid, went to a Don Wilson pitching camp.
Oh, damn.
To learn how to pitch.
How'd that work out for you?
I was pretty good up until I was about 12.
Are you a professional pitcher?
No.
So basically it was a waste of money.
It didn't cost me anything.
Oh.
All right, let's go to our man Jerome Solomon. Houston Chronicle columnist, host of Houston Sports Show. What's happening tonight, Jerome? Are they closing it out?
Damn, you are old. Don Wilson. I've never even heard of that guy. Is he dead?
Yeah, stop. Stop. You're so old you used to party with him, so don't give me that.
Please. I've never heard of a Don Wilson pitching camp. Man, you go back to that, homeboy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I do think they close it out, but, you know, they showed what they could do over the weekend. And they played relaxed. That's just who they are. They didn't panic after getting down 0-2, and they didn't do anything different, really. They just did what they do. So I kind of expect them to be even more relaxed today. And I was talking to Carlos Correa about 30 minutes ago. You know, it's a couple hours before Game 6 of the World Series, and he's just chilling in the dugout, you know, having conversations. And A.J. Hinch said last night, you know, slept like a baby, watched the Rockets game, just chilling. He's like, we already know what we need to know. So it wasn't like he was doing any all-night study sessions over the Nationals or anything. He said they're ready to go. So I expect them to play well.
If you put yourself in the shoes of the Nationals and you feel like all the momentum swung their way, and you had to feel like all the wind went out of your sails before Game 5 when they said Max Scherzer wasn't going to be pitching. And then Max Scherzer throws today and says if there's a Game 7, he's going. Do you feel like that maybe puts a little extra pep in the step of the Nationals today?
Yeah, and you know me, I don't believe in momentum anyway. There's no such thing. So that wouldn't put any extra in me because for me, I would think you should have all the pep you need. You got a chance to win the World Series. You know you can beat this team. You've beat them before. You beat them here. Beat them twice. And you got Steven Strasburg on the mound. They can talk all they want about Justin Verlander, but you got a guy you're not afraid to put out there. You got a guy you're not, you know, you don't think he can, you know he can shut another team down and win a game for you. So they should be supremely confident, I would think. And not to mention, Verlander has not been spectacular in the World Series in his whole career. I mean, he just hasn't been the pitcher that he usually is in the World Series. So, no, if I'm the Nationals, I'm confident as the Astros are confident. I just think the Astros are better. And over the course of time, the less weird things happen, the better teams usually can figure out how to get it done when they're as good as these Astros are. But, no, it's no slam dunk, that's for sure.
That's what I feel like the Astros are better. I will say the fact that, you know, in the next two games, it feels to me like the Nationals will have a pitching edge because Strasburg has just been so ridiculous in these playoffs. 40 strikeouts to 2 walks. It's just a ridiculous made-up number that you can't even imagine being real, but it is. And then you mentioned Verlander's struggles, and obviously Scherzer versus anyone, as good as Zach Greinke is, I mean, it's an advantage to the Nationals. It feels like, even though the better team should win, I feel like the Nationals, for a team being down 3-2, this is about as good of a situation as you can ask for.
Almost. I mean, granted, they lost those home games. They would much rather be down 3-2 with those games at home. The teams in Minute Maid will make a difference. And plus, you know, adding a DH in as opposed to playing under National League rules, that makes a bit of a difference. And when you're playing a better team, all those little slight advantages should, you know, balance things out for you, but they don't get to do that for them this time. The key to me, though, is the Astros got this Strasburg last time. They just didn't take him out. You know, they put some balls in play. They have some good hits. And they could have opened it up in the first inning, and they didn't. And he worked real hard to get through what I guess he got through 6 innings or something. I mean, he threw like 116 pitches or whatever. So he was grinding. He wasn't mowing them down. He can mow them down tonight, but he wasn't mowing them down then. So they get to see a guy for the second time in a week. That's an advantage for the offense.
Jerome Solomon is our guest. Switch it over to the Texans and the injuries keep mounting, and once again, JJ gone for the season. What do you see happening here moving forward?
When you watch that game Sunday, it went about like I would have expected it to go. I mean, I thought they would be a little more comfortable in it than they were, as it turned out. But, you know, when you play a game where you get 0 sacks and no quarterback hits and no turnovers, you know, you give another team a shot. I guess that's just what their season is going to be. They'll be up and down. They'll beat some teams. They'll lose to some teams. They'll play some close games. And Deshaun Watson, on the days that he saves them, that's when they rack up the W. The Watt loss is pretty big, I mean, especially considering they traded Jadeveon Clowney for nothing for the season.
What do you mean, Barkevious Mingo? How dare you?
Yeah, right. He's making up that difference, isn't he? And this is not hindsight. We were all saying that at the time it made no sense, but it makes even less sense now. And even to the point of, okay, you're going to trade him. You could have traded him all the way up until this afternoon. So you have plenty of time to look around the league and get a nice haul for this guy. And they just made a dumb decision, and that's going to just haunt them in general anyway, but even more specifically, now that Watt's gone for the third time in 4 years. I am curious. I mean, I know he loves the game, but he's got $15 million next year and $17 million the next. Those are team options, not even his, frankly. But, you know, at some point, I mean, his body, these are all separate injuries. I mean, will this guy just decide, hey, look, man, I want to be able to walk and be normal 20 years from now and might want to hang it up one of these days? Soon.
Well, and he even talked about that a couple of years ago after one of those injuries, and now you're talking about a third one in 4 years, so that wouldn't be surprising at all.
Yeah, I mean, I, but he also has never presented us as a guy who does anything else. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm not saying he's not capable of doing something else, but he's never shown that he's had a passion for much of anything besides football, and so that part of his life is going to be so difficult to replace. That, you know, even the speculation is probably on some level ridiculous because J.J. Watt is a football player. Football players, you know what they do?
Play
they
football.
Play football. Yeah. Until they just absolutely are told, you got to leave the game. And, you know, his body is telling him something.
Hey, with these Rockets, what you've seen so far out of them, I mean, A, how are you feeling about what you've seen so far? B, I know it's three games, but, man, this James Harden is not the kind of James Harden I can see having a whole lot of success this season. He's so inefficient right now. I mean, do you think this is just a mini slump, which we'll see slumps with any player over the course of a season? His just happens to be to start the season, or could it be that he's not really comfortable in the newfound offense that they're going to be running with Russ there?
No, it's a slump. I mean, he's never been a great 3-point shooter. He just makes plenty of them, but he's not like he's a pure shooter. He ain't Steph Curry, and it's been three games. But he's six out of 40. I mean, he's way better than that. And that's not the offense. That's just geez, missing shots. And it's only three games, and they're scoring points. They're winning games. They lost a fairly close one to Milwaukee, but they're not playing any defense. So, they're just out there running around. It's hard to tell what they're made of or what they're going to be. But Westbrook changes the game tremendously. I mean, he's fun to watch. We knew that would be the case. But he's just something that they haven't had. And he's better than what they have had, in recent years. And he's going to do a lot of natural rebound off the board and go coast to coast and run a one-man fast break. And that should It should make James Harden's life easier, but it won't make it easier if Harden doesn't start making shots.
Yeah, I've never been a Westbrook fan, but it is one thing that is nice to see out of him is the effort. Unfortunately, it also makes James Harden's lack of effort more glaring, particularly on the defensive end. Like, you see Russ out there running around, and then you see James just kind of, whatever.
I disagree with that on some level. James he's not quick. He's not fast. He doesn't have those quick twitch muscles. He doesn't blow by people. And like Mike D'Antoni talked about it the other day, the question come up about the championship window, that stupid question. But he's just saying that James can play at this level for a while because it's not like he would lose his speed by blowing by people because he doesn't blow by people. He plays a finesse game and a physical game. He moves people off of him and get his shot. That doesn't work on defense. Great defensive players are guys that can move, that can get to a spot, beat an offensive player to a spot, et cetera, et cetera. It's not all effort. Now, yeah, there are sometimes he just decides, I'm not even going down there. That's the last effort. But there are other times he's there, he just can't move that fast, and he doesn't know how to play defense, and he's not particularly interested in learning at this point either. So I guess you could put that on the effort level as well. But I mean, he's not nearly as bad a defense player as people make it seem. But yeah, having Russell Westbrook running around next year will make everybody look slower.
Is it too early to tell if this is going to be Russell Westbrook's team or James Harden's team?
I don't buy into that whose team it is stuff at all.
Just because they have such different identities as far as offense goes.
It's gonna be James Harden's team because he's here first. You know, he owns it, and that's just the way it is. That if they have a problem, it's gonna be Westbrook's problem, not Harden. That's just the way it's gonna be. But Westbrook isn't gonna be good enough to take over the team. They like each other, man. They really do. I know that people are expecting some blow-ups and stuff. But they've known each other for so long. They know how to go after each other. They know how to talk to each other. They know how to yell at each other. They're going to be fine. When it comes to basketball, Westbrook also knows he can grab the ball whenever he wants because he might be the best rebounder on the damn team. And he can go and shoot it whenever he wants because Mike D'Antoni allows you to do that. So you don't have to worry about whose team it is. Westbrook is like, it'll be my team on this play if I want it to be. You know what I mean? And if Harden wants it to be his team, he's got to play hard.
All right, that's Jerome Solomon. You can hear him, 9 a.m. here on Sundays at also the Houston Sports Show Sunday night, and Chronicle columnist. Tell the people a little bit about how the show's going on Sunday nights.
Oh, it's going great. And I'll be on tomorrow afternoon, Usual Suspects, with Barry Laminet. The show is killing it, man. It's doing extremely well. People are checking out for sure. I mean, we have a good time. We do some fun stuff. We had an interview with Jim Crane last week. We had some camera issues, so we had to put up a picture of a gym and a crane to run with the audio on the interview. People thought that was pretty funny. So we're willing to do anything to make the show be what it is. So we've had a good time. And we ran one of your sports events. Deal that Barry Laminack did on comparing Washington, D.C. and Houston. That was pretty good stuff. So you guys tell your boys they did great work on that, man. But no, we're having fun. We want people to check it out. And Sunday morning on the radio, I'm going to bring O.J. will be in. Rachel Van Aranda.
Oh, I thought you meant the real O.J.
Yeah. No, not that O.J. We don't want to come in and... Have you seen my co-host?
Yeah, that's true.
Can't hold you around, Lauren Leal. That wouldn't work.
You got last a beautiful last one neck, Lauren.
Didn't survive, allegedly.
All right, Jerome. appreciate the time, man. We'll talk to you again soon, and have a good show tomorrow.
All right, fellas. Catch you later.
Hey, guys. It's your old friend, OJ, here to tell you, after the game, you want to go to Academy to get all the World Series gear for your Astros. OJ says, Academy, that's where you got to be. But for real, Academy is the place to be. And I believe if the Astros win tonight, Raheel Ramzanali will be at the Academy here on Westheimer making an appearance. And the one in Katy? Okay. They're your hometown store for your hometown team. Everything you need to cheer on the Stros as they take it back. Officially licensed World Series apparel, your favorite Stars jersey, plus all the hats, tees, and other gear that you need to represent H-Town from head to toe. The Stros aren't done making history, guys. Get to Academy Sports and Outdoors and Academy.com to be ready to witness it all. MLB trademarks and copyrights are used with permission of Major League Baseball. Visit MLB.com. And remember to get down to Academy for all your World Series gear. And I'm telling you, as someone who was at the World Series and paid some ballpark prices for some gear, go to Academy. You're going to save yourself some money. That's Academy Sports and Outdoors, Academy.com. Check it out today.